top of my wish list is to play a really good, solid 60-minute hockey game here in Montreal.
Petrie with a shot right on. Big rebound. They score. Here are the Canadiens now with a 2-on-1 as Riley got beat. Centering pass. They score. Here's a chance in over the line now for Mike Hoffman with a shot. And he scores. Dermott had that knocked away. Centering pass. Scores. Here's Gallagher looking for a man in front. They score. Rim Pitlick, and the route is on.
So, I'm always trying to be more measured. It's a real life pursuit of mine, is to just take a breath and take a second, slow down just a little tiny bit, and don't overreact. And sometimes I wake up and I get ready to do the show and I got all these things prepared, and then Vic plays his clips and it triggers all the Dumbo parts of my brain that I have to resist. Every single one of them. Every single one of those goals. That just brought me right back into private text messages where I try to get out all the demons with my friends during these kind of games. You know, I try to put the demons out. I try to cleanse. Everybody has their friends they cleanse with, right? Some people use Twitter. Those people are called trolls. You know, some people use Twitter for the cleansing of the bad take demons. I use text messages with a small group of friends that I trust. Yeah, that brought me right back there. Leafs lose 5-2. Good morning, Eilish Forfar. It's the Fan Morning Show. I'm JD Bunkus. That is
it a good morning?
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. Again, I'm like Sheldon Keefe, okay? I'm just looking at today like the coach, where he said, sometimes you need games like that to have a wake-up call.
A wake-up call against the worst team ever in the history of the National Hockey League. Oh, really need a wake-up call from the bottom feeders of the entire galaxy.
Yeah. Okay. So what I want to do today is I want to go through the things that made me angry from yesterday.
Good. It's
put
like
them
a therapy
out there.
Session.
And then, sort of break them down one by one as to what I think went wrong and what I think is going wrong right now.
And it's Text Line Tuesday, so you can get in on the therapy session. You can air your grievances. Mm-hmm. Just be a day that we all get it off our chest.
Yeah. I had one dude in the DMs last night that I sent to our group chat as a screenshot, I don't care, where he's like, you should have me on for a segment. I was like, you're out of your mind. You can have a text. So if you ever wanted to get on the show, you can absolutely text in. If you're that guy, especially.
Because then it goes through a little bit of a buffer, it gets read multiple times. Yeah. You're like, is this allowed to be on the air? Yes.
Hey, listen. The one thing, so I really miss going out in big groups. It's a thing that doesn't really happen now that the pandemic, right? You go, even when you do go out, when the bars do open, it's a small group of friends usually. Small party, small this. What I miss, is so many things about those big outings. What I will never miss is the conversation from a stranger of, you should have my friend X on
your show.
Because they know sports. And I go, wow. Someone please come over here and take me from this conversation as I have to indulge this person going, really? Oh, that's awesome. That's
cool.
Really,
yeah, we'll
cool
see if we can get him on. Yeah. Like, send your info to our producer, Danielle. Yeah. We'll see if we can book you.
Your friend knows about sports. That's incredible. Wow. Got to get him. We had Carson Palmer on the other day, but no, let's definitely get your friend Chris, who likes to watch the Bengals. So anyways, Leafs get embarrassed last night, straight up. That's just an embarrassing loss. Ugh. Sometimes this team is predictable in the worst kind of ways, and every Leaf fan that's listening to this knows exactly what I'm talking about. The first goal of that game goes in, and you go, I knew it. And you didn't really know it because we were all picking the Leafs, and I picked them to win on the wake and rake and blah, 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 blah. But once it happens, we know. We know what kind of night this is going to be. I tried to delude myself.
We should have known better. You know, deep down inside, when we looked at those betting lines yesterday and we said, you can't bet on the Leafs.
Yeah.
The answer was clear. You bet on the other team.
We said it was bad value, and it was. And it was bad value for a bunch of different reasons. So I'm going to go through them. The one thing more embarrassing from the next last night. Let me just ask you this. Is there any fear in your heart that the reason that they've struggled against other Canadian opponents this year in their buildings, but most specifically that one where you see a game like last night, because I try to do the, hey, some games matter, some games don't. Let's just be honest. Them losing to the Arizona Coyotes where they outplay them, that didn't matter. I didn't take anything from that. But does a game like that against Montreal, who knocked you out of the playoffs last year, who stinks with a capital S, I don't care if they've won three straight and they got a new coach bounce and whatever, that team sucks. They just traded away their best player because they are in a total teardown rebuild. Their young guy, Cole Caulfield, who you brought up yesterday as, oh, what's his season been like? All of a sudden he goes, oh, I got all the confidence.
I'll show you, chick. You want to see my season?
I'll do everything. I'll score every single goal. I'll get every single point. All of a sudden, everybody clowned on the Josh Anderson contract. Leaf fans go, that guy should got paid double because that guy kills us every single time. What do you just make of an opponent being in your head or the idea that the Leafs saw a ghost of the past and it spooked them in that game?
That was the biggest thing when I sat there and tried to evaluate how I was feeling watching that game last night. And maybe it's because I've been in situations where this could be fixed, I started to question the leadership a bit of this team. You come in, you play against a team who absolutely embarrassed you last year in that exact arena. You know how much is riding on coming in and erasing those demons and proving that that was a blip and that you're a better team and that this team, which is the bottom feeder of the NHL, that's where they deserve to be. What happened last year, you know, I know it's a new season, but that is the thing that we talk about now every single day. It doesn't matter till the playoffs. Doesn't matter till the playoffs. And they came in and played with zero pride, zero fire.
Yeah.
They had no bite. They got down and they just gave up. And I start thinking, where's the leadership here? Early exits, playing bad against bad teams. Playing bad against bad teams. Like that's a horrible quality to have if you're a team. You need to play great against bad teams and capitalize. Why do you play down to your opponent's level against an awful team? Yeah, they lost to Arizona, but you said it was a little bit of a different game. Last night was awful.
Yeah.
They got embarrassed there last year, and they come here and they get blown out again. It seems like they haven't really learned any lessons or have any pride to come in last night to do something different. So I think that's a big glaring issue to me. And I don't know if that's a leadership problem, if that's a mental makeup of the roster problem, a coaching problem, but that is something you can play with heart and fire and be the worst team in the league. That doesn't come by skill, and they have enough skill to win games easily. I just thought last night was really disappointing because they just seemed to have thrown in the towel early, and it just was a game where you sat there and you rotted watching. So that was the thing to me that just sucked the most.
They couldn't get out of it. And the reason why I started with that is because I don't normally like to draw wide sweeping conclusions from one game, but I thought last night wasn't going to matter at all because I thought the Leafs were going to kick the living crap out of them. I had already determined that our narrative today was going to be, what is it about this team that's so different from last year that you just trust them to beat the Montreal, blah, 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 blah. It just, that game ended up actually mattering because of how poorly they played. This team is, and I know we don't watch every single game of every other team, and so some of this is lost in the ebbs and flows of you being so close to one team. But my God, do they have this incredible ability to play up one night and look like they are going to win a Stanley Cup and then play like that the next. And I don't care about the shots. I don't care about the third period pushback. That was an absolute joke. The game was over. Montreal didn't even try on their power play. They knew the game was over to start the third. They just went, yeah, whatever. You guys can have the puck. Sure, Hemison. There was one small moment there with like 15 minutes left where they had made it a three-goal game where you thought, if they can get one more here, maybe, but they didn't. So I started with the thing you can't quantify, and the thing that is a small sample, the one game, because the other things I want to get into, they are no small sample concerns. And they all cropped up again last night. I'm going to start with what you said, leadership. Their captain is a problem right now. And I'm, again, to start what I said today, I'm trying not to overreact. I'm trying not to make mistakes that I think a lot of people do, which is when a player goes in a slump, they automatic who's over the age of 30, they automatically go, is this player done for? Is this player washed? Blah, 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 blah. John Tavares is actually, if you look at his numbers, right, you bring up his numbers, he's scoring more goals per 60 this year than he was a year ago. Barely, but he still is. His numbers, he's still a point-a-game player. You look across the board and you go, well, are you really just complaining about a guy who actually still has 17 goals this season? Are we really going to make a fuss about this? Are you really going to go out and say this is what the problem of your team is? And I would say at this point, yes, it absolutely is. Tavares is getting almost 70% of his starts in the offensive zone this year. That's up an actually pretty healthy percentage from where he was a year ago. He's got over $10 million worth of wingers on his line, and he's got 11 goals at 5-on-5 this season. And I've thought a lot about it. He's been great in the faceoff circle. He's probably been a little bit underappreciated because Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and Michael Bunting have the most dominant line in a long time with the Toronto Maple Leafs above them. But that's what I realized last night is when Marner and Matthews have a night where the puck's not going in or they're not dominating, there's just not enough force from the second line. There's not enough force for what you pay for. The identity of this team is supposed to be you have two number one lines. And that's the issue with Tavares. Is he good? Yes. Is he a fine player? Absolutely. Is he playing anything close to an identity player? No. There's no force. That line, way too many nights, just has shifts where they start in their offensive zone, and then 2 seconds later, it's in the D zone. And you go, what did you guys do? You won the draw. Like, how did it end up back here? How did it end up back here so fast? Why are you guys flailing back here? It's just, that's what I keep coming back to with Tavares, is there is just not enough force from that second line. And that's scaring the crap out of me, because we know what this group is if they're a one-line team in the playoffs, and that's a loser.
Looks like he has no confidence. He's not driving the play. When he's playing good, you know Tavares. He's dangling. He's making quick moves. He's in and out of corners. Like, he's an impact player, and he has been that on the Maple Leafs in the past. If something has changed in terms of just, like, the confidence, I feel like, and that shows a lot. And he's the leader of this team, too. So if he's not producing on the ice, and we're having discussions about what's the leadership going on in this room if you're continuing to have bad showings, I don't know. There needs to be some sort of reinvigoration in that line, or something needs to be done to spark a little bit of pride and anger. Like, you can't just go down 5-0 against the worst team in the league, and Jason Spezza is trying to fight people to spark the team. It's like, you need more than that. Like, you need to have. He talked about growing up wanting to play for the Maple Leafs and how it was like a lifetime, you know, goal of his. And a lot of those guys didn't look like they cared if they were playing for a D3 college team last night, right? So it's just like, there needs to be that fire.
So this is what bothers me the most about the Tavares thing right now, is that you're supposed to lead by example. And yeah. I don't really know what that is right now. He's talked about, he and Morgan Rielly both yesterday, the one before the game, one after the game, talked about defending off the rush better. And what happens again yesterday? They're terrible at defending off the rush. Some of this is just personnel issues where the Leafs really don't have anything on their blue line right now. It's just awful. Justin Hall, at this point, they lost Muzzin, and so they're going to be short bodies. I don't know how you could justify playing him right now. Truly. It's just, it's worse and worse every single night. And I know that we look at these guys and say, well, we're overly critical. And Justin Hall has been awful. He really is. Some of these plays that he makes in his own end where he's going backwards and turning the puck over, just making things so much more difficult than they need to be, seems like he is just in a complete mental pretzel right now where he needs at least a week off in a media box. Like, he needs to watch the game from up top and do something different or go somewhere else. Even if the return on the trade is nothing. We've done this whole thing with him where it's, oh, well, how are you going to replace what he's doing at that money? You can replace what he's doing at that money. It's called Travis Dermott. It's called Timothy Liljegren. Any of these guys is giving you what he's giving you right now.
Oh, he just seems like he knows that he's playing so poorly, and he's gripping his stick so tight that he's making it even worse mistakes. He needs to literally just simplify your game, get the puck out, go up the ice. Like, let's start with that.
Stop
go
going
towards.
Backwards. Why are you going backwards?
I watch it. I'm just like, what? That's not the right direction. Like, I know I'm not an NHLer, but get the puck out. Like, it's just some simple things that need to change. And I think when you're in a slump in the way you are, and you know that there's like so much conversation around the D, and you're getting new D, and now you know you're just there's so much going on in your head. Sure, maybe that's it, but like it just he looked unplayable last night. Yeah. Like I can't imagine you can't just put him back in there and be like, go get him, buddy. Like it's bad. It's really bad.
It's really bad. And we don't know if they're going to get Lyubushkin tonight. It's apparently up in the air. He's going to join the team, but Sheldon Keefe says that they haven't made a decision. Yeah, put him in, Sheldon, because he should play over Justin Hall after last
night.
Please. After last night, you absolutely just put him in. You call up Sandin, you get his ass back in the lineup because you never want to have that kid out again. Salary cap, no nothing. You need Sandin. He's so important. And you certainly do not play Justin Hall after the way that he played against the Montreal Canadiens. But again, the checklist of things that I'm worried about, the second line is just one of them. Like I said, you can look at Tavares' numbers, you can go across the board, you can find me all of his Corsi and his points per game and his points per 60 and everything across the board. You look at it and it is fine. His points per game is up from his last two seasons. It's not good enough. And anybody with eyes knows that right now it's not good enough. And this is why you can't just look at the box scores. The power play has been terrific, and he's a big part of the reason why the power play has been terrific. So he does get credit for that. But 5-on-5, night in, night out, not enough force, not enough domination. And I'm sorry, he's supposed to be the straw that stirs the drink between he, Nylander, and Kerfoot. And those two guys are a little bit more exempt because they had done something. Got something else on the second line?
Yes. Are you up for moving around the first line and starting to spread it out into the second line for tonight if you're looking at it?
I'm so torn on it because, again, I love that first line, and I think that they are the entire identity of the team. But at some point, you're going to have to try something different because people with takes like, well, you trade Tavares, you do this, oh, they should have done this. I see these articles sometimes by bloggers that are, hey, would you have not signed Tavares if they could? Is Tavares, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. He's here.
Can't do that.
He's here right now, and he's going to be here right now. And yes, he's still a positive player for you. It's just that he's not dominating the way that he should be. He's not dominating like a captain who was a 40-goal scorer in this league, mm-hmm. who now has less than McCann, and again, only 11 goals 5-on-5 this year. I want more than 11 goals 5-on-5 from my goal-scoring center. I'm sorry. Especially when this isn't last year where you had to take on a completely different defensive identity. 70% of your draws are in the offensive zone. And that's the biggest positive of his game right now is he's dominant in the faceoff circle. He dominates the dot. He's been better there this year than just about anything. So again, more points per game, more everything, just not enough force every single night to be able to, like, if the top line has a bad night, are there games right now or in a while where Tavares and Nylander have picked them up and said, don't worry, Matthews, Bunting, and Marner, we can have it tonight. And if you remember why they lost to Montreal last year, it's because they didn't end up having two lines. They weren't able to supplement that. Even when they were getting Nylander and Kerfoot scoring and the top line stayed quiet, they couldn't win against the Montreal Canadiens.
That's why I think you need to mix it up a bit tonight.
Maybe.
Just tonight.
I think there's nothing off the table after a game like that. Mm-hmm. I really don't. And I don't see the harm in it during a regular season where everything's practices. Yeah. I really, really don't. And if you put Marner back with him and it ends up working, fine. Let me see it. There needs to be something better than what those two guys have done for a month now. The defense, we talked about it with Justin Hall. They lose Jake Muzzin to a freak weird play where he's up in the rush. He's in the offensive zone. Like, the first thing I thought of with the play was, how are you even there? You know, like, where did you come from, Jake? Why are you there? He gets hurt, and it's a reminder that this guy gets hurt. I hope he's okay. Everybody's rooting for Jake Muzzin. When he's at his best, he does provide something that this team doesn't have. But his season has been underwhelming. He's another guy who just it was his 33rd birthday yesterday. He's longer in the tooth, and with his older age and this accumulation of more and more injuries, it's becoming clearer and clearer that he does not have the body to endure being Toronto's physical force on the back end. And who knows how long he's out for? They obviously still need him because they can't now all of a sudden say, well, now we need three defensemen because need two. That's pretty clear. And maybe they end up getting one, but they certainly need another one. It was just a realization for me, if you want to talk about wake-up calls, that not only is the blue line horrific, because it really was last night, that Jake Muzzin keeps being viewed as this savior who's going to turn things around, and I just don't know why we're still believing in that fairy tale at this point. He's 33, he gets beat up, he gets hurt, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy the last 2 years when the games have counted. Why are we counting on him now? I don't know why. I don't understand the case.
I sit here and I wish I could give you something that makes sense, but because we look and there's like, who else? Like, you know, you need another player on the back end that you have faith in.
They already needed one, though. Even with this guy, Lyubushkin, showing up and being a real presence for them, giving them something that they haven't had. Let's say he bumps Justin Hall out.
If he comes in and he's a top two D pairing, that's great. There's still more holes, right? That's so frustrating. And so if Muzzin goes out and he's out for a bit and he goes on like LTIR, maybe there's some cap stuff that can happen where you can pick someone up and do whatever, a lightning play where you pick up people and you're like, whatever, $39 million over the cap. I just hope that he's going to be okay down the road. But for now, it seems like he's staying in Montreal, getting some tests done. He won't be playing tonight at least. So They have even more work to do back there. And like, that's just the part that you look and it's like, you have a mountain in front of you to conquer. Like, how do you even begin?
How you begin is the one spin is Rasmus Sandin steps up into more minutes and you end up seeing what you have.
And I do believe that can happen. We had him in like this weekend and a couple of games before we said, we liked him up there. He was the most promising of the experiments on the back end.
I think that there's a building case that he is already their third best defenseman and that he's already better than Jake Muzzin, and seeing him in these minutes might actually end up being helpful. He and Liljegren have been very, very good as a pair, so now maybe they get a bit of runway as a second pairing where there's less sheltering. I don't have a lot of faith in that when it comes to playoffs. We're going to talk to Ian Tulloch at 7 o'clock. I'm going to basically tell him why I don't have faith in that pairing, but at least for now you can give them some harder minutes and take a look at what could be in the future, because I still think you want to add another right shot D to play next to Sandin on a second pairing if Muzzin's out for a really long time. Whatever. Even if Muzzin does come back, I want somebody that can slide into the top four. Mm-hmm. They're going to need somebody. I also got hit with a theory yesterday, and I want to bounce it off Anthony Stewart later especially, which is how much the defensive juggling might actually be hurting their ability to defend off the rush. That they've used a lot of defensemen, and they've had to use a lot of defensemen. And we talk about Jack Campbell being out of a rhythm. Well, what about some of the blue line pairings being out of rhythm? Because Dermott's in one night, Hall's down one night, Liljegren's up one night, Muzzin's hurt one night. Basically, there are two guys that get to play with one another the entire season. They're the best two guys together. There's no question about it. But everybody else is just in a blender every single night. And it's minutes up and down. Muzzin's minutes aren't up and down when he's in. But you get my drift here, is that constantly having this turnover, never really knowing where you are in the lineup, a lot of it falls again on the shoulders of Justin Hall for being so terrible that he couldn't keep his job. But realistically, at some point, I wonder if Keefe is just going to have to say, hey, I'm sticking it out with this blue line for a little while. Like, if he brings in Sandin, he has to, I think, decide, at some point, are you just going to play Sandin and Liljegren together for five games in a row as your second pairing? Or are you going to keep doing the thing where you're cycling people through, and then all of a sudden the experiment is reaching the playoffs and you don't know what your D partners are?
It's funny. That's a really good point. Like, I hadn't thought about just like the absolute chaos that is the back end and how difficult that would be, because you build chemistry with somebody and like you need to be able to read each other's bodies, like language on the ice. And when you have somebody drop passing pucks to defense that isn't there, you have trouble with too deep pinching at the same time. It just seems that they're not in a rhythm. And I think that might have to do with the fact that they're not really playing with a consistent partner. I feel like last night was a showcase Travis Dermott type night. You know, I think there's trade rumors around him. I mean, not a really great opportunity for, hopefully nobody really watched that one that was looking to get a Travis Dermott a look, but definitely something to be said there. I also think it's interesting, if you can do that so much with the back end and you're stubborn not to change the front end, maybe like that's okay, you're overcompensating for wanting to be so stuck with your forward lineups. You're just going to throw your D lineups in a blender. Maybe there's a better meshing of doing, you know, doing both in a little bit more of a cautious way. But yeah, I think Stewie would have probably some really good insight on that. Like I never thought about it. I think that could certainly be something.
Well, either way, it's something because Keith has to continuously do it, mm-hmm. which means he hates his blue line. He hates them. He cannot stand those dudes. They keep him up at night. They're ruining his life. He is probably overeating, having an extra drink every once in a while. He's probably losing a little bit of hair, all because that blue line is just impossible to figure out. Well, there's just nobody on it that can play, right? And then you lose Jake Muzzin, and everyone's been frustrated with Muzzin's play all season long. Nobody's been satisfied with it. Mm-hmm. He goes down, though, and you realize, oh, my God, now I have to watch more games of Travis Dermott and Justin Hall potentially as a pairing. Woof. Don't want it. Don't need it. Last thing that concerns me from last night that is no longer a small sample. Peter Mrazek. We had this moment where we went, oh, well, the Mrazek and back and forth and Jack Campbell. Peter Mrazek has had 10 starts. Do you want to know how many of those he's had a save percentage over 900?
I'm going to say 2.
He's had 9 starts, not 10, sorry.
Okay, nine that starts, change two. My answer.
Yeah, oh, 2 games where he's at over 900 save.
Ding, ding, ding. Bing, bong.
Kyle Dubas gave him a 3-year contract. I know everybody's calling him the magician yesterday because he traded for the Arizona guys after you dumped one contract. This offseason, it's becoming more and more apparent that you really need Mrazek just to level out so that you don't need to salary dump this goaltender. Because there's a real possibility that Mrazek is a part of their future now, and I got to tell you, I don't like it. And it feels like every single night that he is in the net, he has a goal like the one against Caulfield, where he is just wildly overplaying a shot. Like, sliding across his net to be... What are you trying to do?
Are you trying to show us how athletic you are
and how far you can push across your crease? Okay, great. You're not in the net, buddy. Where is your net? That's the number one thing you learn when you're a goaltender. Where's the net? Where's the net? Where's the net? And consistently, this guy doesn't know where the net is. See, now I'm getting mad. I'm trying to calm down, but it's driving me insane. They tried to solve this goaltending issue, and they gave him more money than what Freddie Anderson ended up getting in totality with the Carolina Hurricanes. I know that Freddie needed to move on and that the organization needed to move on, but it's still a tough pill to swallow that they view these guys as they're in the same league or class of goaltender. Because so far, Peter Mrazek with this group playing behind this blue line has not looked like a very good backup. In fact, it's not great when you trade for an AHL goaltender in Carter Hutton, where people say, hey, this guy is actually just becoming a Leaf so that you can take on money from Arizona so they don't bury it in the AHL, that fans go, could he be worse? Let's see what he looks like. That's not what I want to hear for the guy that you gave $4 million to for the next 3 seasons.
I think you nailed it with the play last night. Just looked sloppy. He looked... How do you not know where your net is?
He swims. He loves to swim. He's Michael Phelps.
And a lot of time over the last couple of weeks, we've been like, hey, the defense is really bad, so let's give these goalies a little bit of credit. And there's no credit for last night. It was completely eyes on Mrazek and how awful he played. But if you're Jack Campbell, you're watching that, do you feel like, all right, this is my net? There's no doubt about it.
No, there's more pressure on you. See, yeah. I don't even view it that way. I view it as the opposite, where Jack...
You better perform, because there's no one else.
There's nobody else. You need to perform. If the Leafs have to go to Peter Mrazek in a playoff series, they're dead. You think that they're going to survive? Do you really believe, in your heart of hearts, and fine, if this old takes exposes me, I don't give a crap. You think that Peter Mrazek can have the net against the Tampa Bay Lightning and you're going to win that series? Are you out of your mind? Like, are you kidding?
There's not a chance.
Like, 2 out of 9 games, 900 save. He cannot do it. He makes spectacular saves, right? He made another one last night.
He made that one last night, and I was like, if you had a good game, this would be, like, the best thing ever, man.
Makes one every single night. It almost feels like when I was a little kid, I started to play goalie because of Rock'em Sock'ems, and I watched Felix Potvin highlights, and I wanted to make rainbow glove saves. And I feel like Peter Mrazek is just trying to make the Rock'em Sock'em highlight
reel. If you try hard enough, you'll get one.
That's it. He wants to have the rainbow glove save like I did in Pee Wee, And so he's trying to do the same thing night in, night out, where he's trying to make a flashy save, and he just can't keep his positioning well enough. And I'm sorry, but it's just, it's painful. It really is painful to watch him give up one or two goals, basically at minimum, every single time he gets the net that shouldn't be going in behind him.
Yeah, it's really tough. I don't know. I just... Yeah, Carter Hutton jokes were funny last night. Oh, put him in. Is he on his way to the game? And you're like, this is also a sad reality that this is not too far-fetched of an idea that people are having.
So it's Text Line Tuesday. So 590-590, you tell me. What are the things that you're actually concerned about right now? And I don't want to hear the stupid stuff because I'm not going to read the stupid stuff. But you can DM me at JD Bunkus. You can hit me up. As always on Instagram, I read them. You can hit me up on Twitter. You can do the same for Ailish, at Ailish4far. You can text us 590-590 today, and I want to have them all throughout the day. Like, normally I say, you're the producer, pick whatever you want, and we'll try to mix in some lighter things so that this doesn't just become 4 hours of JD hammering away at the same three issues. But, yeah, why are you supposed to have faith when things are different? What is it that is giving you the faith right now that they are? What is giving you reasons for pessimism, optimism, all of those different things? Because to me right now, those are the three things that I circle that I've been seeing a lot of lately. The three things that I'm trying not to overreact to, but they're very much there. And yeah, if you want to let it fly off of one game and make grand sweeping indictments of this team, fine. Because I think last night was a pretty good indicator if you even took a little peek at social media, which I happen to do. Or you are a Leafs fan and you have a cell phone where other people reach you to discuss this team, then I think a lot of anxieties came out yesterday. I think a lot of Leaf fan PTSD came out last night in a game where they were minus 400 favorites. Minus 400. Which is, again, a stupid line, and we understand how these things work. But anxieties poured out last night. So I want to hear them. I want to hear which ones that you think are regrettable that you had last night that you thought of and now you slept on it. Maybe you got a good sleep, although you're up at 6:30, so how good of the sleep could it have been?
They're still up.
You're still up.
Pacing.
Yeah, you couldn't sleep last night. You're like me. You had a crisis on the team. Either way, 590-590, at JD Bunkus, at Ailish4far. Keep them coming all day. I want to hear them. I want to read them. Let's take a break. By the way, subscribe to this podcast if you're listening to this for the first time or whatever. You're just here randomly because you're pissed off about the Leafs. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave 5 stars. Do all those nice, fancy things. Follow on Instagram. Follow on Twitter. Do all that stuff. Let's take a break. Let's take a breather.
Yeah, I'm going to try to bring some good, lighthearted A-list stuff. We need it.
I do. I need a little bit of a buffer before I yell at Ian Tulloch about why all his nerd stats are wrong. Yeah, okay. It's the Fan Morning Show, JD and Ailish, Sports F5 Night of the Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That one's for you, Leafs fans. Relax. Take it easy. It's your favorite segment of the morning. Bring the good vibes. Bring the peace, the zen, namaste, good morning. JD's on mute. What else is new? Come on. That's twice. You're 2 for 2 this morning. The 6 o'clock block, 6:30 block. Wow.
I told you.
Consistent.
Today I'm supposed to be sharp. Today I'm supposed to be sharp because I woke up a little bit earlier. I had a coffee. I did the ease into the day thing. Normally it's just a blunt force trauma, you know, where it's just wake up,
like,
smash, yeah, get up, get out of here. This morning I didn't. I woke up. I reflected. I thought. I prepared. I did things a little bit differently today. And yeah, we'll see. But oof. The mutes are still the same. I'm still the exact same.
You did
same
a little
guy.
Sun salutations, yeah. A little meditation.
There's no sun. It's too early. Yeah, it's too early for sun salutation. Although,
I will say,
getting better.
I will say, yes, working from home over the past, how many months have we been doing this? 2 or 3 months now at this point?
God, I love working from home, though.
I sit right here where I can see the sunrise in my kitchen. And every day it starts to rise a little bit earlier.
I know.
And it makes me very happy.
I know.
So that's something to, you know, the sun will rise, Leafs fans, another day, even earlier than the day before. So That's something to be happy about.
Just more time to be awake with the cold reality that your team keeps torturing you the same way. Yeah, I actually love this time of year because it's just you really start to notice it, right? Because there's – what is it? It's basically when is equinox? When is it the darkest day of the year or whatever? Do you know?
It wasn't somewhere in January, wasn't it?
Yeah. See, I miss Ennis because for this reason is he's great at this stuff. This is what Ennis would always know. He'd be like,
no, I remember saying it where I said
longest day of the year or shortest day of the year. Now
or we want the shortest day of the year. Yeah, it was December 21st. I remember telling you guys from now on, it gets even better. And you're like, shut up.
Yeah. But guess what? That was a lie until literally this week. This is the first week where the days are actually getting longer. Now we're seeing it. You know, I'm a show me your actions kind of person. I'm actions speak louder than words. It's a lot of words when we're saying the days are getting longer after December, whatever you just said it was. Now I'm an actions person, and this is actions now. Now we're seeing actions. I see the backdrop of your apartment, and I see the sun coming out. I believe in it. I'm here. Actions.
It's
with
beautiful.
That. It's probably time for the best action of the day.
Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
I've been waiting for this specific day for a very long time.
Oh, no. I just know. I already know what it is. I already know what it is. I already
Today
know what it is.
Today is a special day. Listeners, listen up. We are blessed to be living this day.
I know it.
It is February 2nd, 2022.
It
is also a Tuesday.
Yeah.
What are the odds? What are the odds? The last time we had something like this?
What do you mean the odds? Days of the week don't just happen. They don't just decide, oh, well, now it's 2022. That's not how the calendar works.
But for it to also be a Tuesday, JD, it is a special day. If you believe
in
it, you go buy a lottery ticket, put some twos in there. It's a palindrome and an ambigram. And the last time we had this was 11-11-11, which was quite a while ago.
It was literally February 2nd. It was literally on the 2nd.
This is even better. This is even better.
It's just one more two. You only got one extra two.
Yeah, that's the, you know what? The exponent or the percentage that this is better.
God.
If Blake
so
was on the show right now, he would know.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're so lucky. You say words like that and I immediately just recoil like a turtle in its shell. I go, oh yeah, she's saying math things. I'm out of this. I'm more of the talky-talky than the mathy-mathy.
Just got a message from Brad James. 2/22/2022. Just a simp. It's even better when it's your birthday.
Oh, congrats to
Happy
Brad.
Happy birthday, Brad in the DM.
No, that's fine.
Way to go,
I mean,
Brad.
Yeah, sure, I guess happy birthday.
Hey, it's his birthday. It's a special day. You know what? I bet that something special will happen to Brad.
Sure, but I think if you're a grown man.
Judging by his photo, he looks like he could be 22. Wouldn't that be funny?
I think that...
I don't know.
22, you still get to celebrate your birthday as a guy, but if you tell people...
When does that stop?
I think a real man doesn't tell anybody it's his birthday. I think that's a real man thing. You just keep it to yourself, you know?
Your friends. He's 28. What do you think?
Too old.
Oh, sorry, Brad.
Keep it to yourself, Brad. Nobody cares. Call us when you're 30, Brad. When you're 30, that's a thing because your friends have to do something, you know?
2 years from now, if we're doing this show, JD, we'll remember it's Brad's birthday on February 22nd. Yeah. It won't be the special 22-22-22, but it'll still be a special day for Brad. So,
Vic.
Congrats on being born.
Tell me I'm wrong. Turn your mic on. A real man doesn't say his birthday.
Never, ever, ever.
That's right. Thank you.
So you know what? I knew that about you, JD,
Brad,
because
tough.
You never... mentioned your birthday. You were very coy about it.
Yeah.
I wrote it down though because you mentioned it once and I had to pull it out of you. I said, what's your birthday? And you said, oh, it's in the August. And I was like, oh yeah, like what day is it? And now I have it and I will celebrate it. Whether
That's
you
fine,
like
though.
It or not.
But other people can celebrate your birthday. That's not an issue with me. Is another person says happy birthday to me and they know it. I do hate when you're at the office and you're in front of a bunch of, you know, people that you're basically on a how's it going? I know your one favorite team. We have a conversation about your one favorite team once every 2 weeks. And then someone blurts out, happy birthday. And then you become the center of attention with all the wrong people. That moment sucks. I hate that moment. But other than that, I don't mind if someone wishes me a happy birthday or knows my birthday or, you know, buys me a gift, Ailish. You know, it's fine. You can
purchase me a thing. Yeah, we'll see. Don't push it.
I really do love a beer on your birthday. I think that's such an easy thing.
I'll buy you a Guinness because I'm a big Guinness gal now after our taste testing.
You're welcome. This is, you know, I taught you everything you know.
But, Anthony from Hamilton texted and said, how many hosts are in the chair today? Two. Another two. It's beautiful. Okay.
How many fingers am I showing you right now?
I can take a screenshot. Okay. So other wonderful things that have happened in the world today recently. Remember when Van Jefferson had to run off the field after he won the Super Bowl?
Two things happened. He won the Super Bowl and he had a baby.
You're right. In the same night. That's crazy.
Yeah, two.
He won the Super Bowl. He runs off the field. His wife was in labor. He had a baby. They named their baby Champ due to the fact he was born on Super Bowl Sunday and they wanted to commemorate the birth of their son. His name will be Champ. I think he has a middle name too. Just scrolling to find the middle name. Maybe he doesn't. It's Champ. Champ, Champ, Champ. Thoughts on that, JD? You're either going to hate it or you're going to love it.
I love it. I think it's actually great. I really do.
Cute.
I think that is actually one where the only downside to it is there's a touch of the LeBron James thing. The thing where, well, your name Bronny is all about just your dad's thing. Like, hey, you're Champ. It's because my dad won a championship. But how is that all that different from any name where you go, you know, well, you're named after your grandfather. You're named after this. Everybody's named after something. So who cares if it's your dad's accomplishment?
I'm actually not named after anything.
Yeah, your parents were just like, oh, what should we call her? Whatever. What's your name, nurse? She was like, hey, I'm from Ireland. They're like, yeah, we got no Irish in our body. We'll just go with that. Sure, that's fine. Write it down however you see fit. People will get it wrong the rest of her life. It's fine. I think it's a good name. And maybe it's because one of my favorite football players ever was Champ Bailey. And he and his brother had the Champ Bailey and Boss Bailey thing that I thought
was
incredible when I was in university. But yeah, I like it. Champ Jefferson is a good name. It does sound like Camp Jefferson, but
that's true. It's Champ Curtis Jefferson. I did get the middle name now, Curtis.
Yeah. Well, thank Very goodness cool. that we know the middle name now. How do you
Congratulations.
Feel?
Congratulations.
You like it?
I think it's lovely.
You like it.
Because remember when I said they should do a Super Bowl themed baby name? I said that and I sourced for text and nobody had any answers.
You asked for that?
I said, what do you think he should name it, guys? Yeah, oh, for sure. Go back and listen. I said, he should have a Super Bowl-themed baby name. Wouldn't that be amazing? And you guys were like,
Because most of the things you say, you're like, I'm hungover. I was not.
Don't talk to me.
Slander. That was absolute slander. So, I should have known that you would have an obvious positive spin on it. Again, one of these days I'm going to have to do the JD list where it's all things that I try to make you buy into the negativity. But no, I'll go with you on this one. I think it's a good name.
Okay.
It's a great story.
Really happy.
It's an incredible
story.
To go win a Super Bowl and then go have a child on the same day. It's a lot, but it's pretty cool.
Love it. If it was a girl, apparently there was the idea of Win, W-Y-N-N, like Win, like Winnie, Win. They
Lucky
won
it was
Bowl.
A boy.
Yeah, I like Champ better. Paul from Peterborough texts in, how many games have the Leafs lost in a row? Two. Another two. Thank you for that, Paul. Okay, this is a fun one I thought could spark some conversation
in
the text line.
I had something I wanted to say there to Paul, but I can't say, but it involves something, you know, you can guess, like, things that you could, you know.
No. You know what? Leave Paul out of this. Okay, here's a very fun one that
things,
I thought
you
guys could weigh in on. If you don't feel like texting in your grievances about the Leafs, or you want to do both, please. So Eli Manning said his dream guest on Monday Night Football on the Manning cast would be Barack Obama. And it got me thinking about who would you, if you had the opportunity to host, would you want as your dream guest? And I thought maybe we just like eliminate the fact that you can't be a former athlete. Like, you know, because everyone would be like, oh, I want this athlete. I want that athlete. But someone that isn't an athlete, that is a fan, that is a personality, a famous person, who would you want to have on your show? Doesn't have to be a football show. It can just be you getting to interview or talk to somebody that might be an idol of yours? Barack Obama, is that for Eli Manning? Do you have one, JD?
I'm trying to picture Eli Manning with his bumbling interview style talking to articulate
the most articulate man in the world.
Yeah, cutting him off unnecessarily. Brock, say his name all wrong.
Brock.
What do you want to talk to Barack Obama about, Eli Manning? Honest to God, you have foreign policy thoughts that you'd like to discuss?
I would love for Barack Obama to have to like spill some of the secrets that he knows. Like, have you seen National Treasure, where they have that book that the president has all the secrets, and it's like aliens are real. What's in Area 51 or 54? Do you have to ask him like the legitimate things that he has to, like, you know, has to spill? He's the former president. He knows everything. He knows where the things are hidden.
Now my dream guest is for us to have a president on the show so that you can ask them, did you ever see National Treasure as its opening to the conversation with a president? So, did you ever read Da Vinci Code if you get to talk to the Pope? That's what you're going to do. So, it's like, I love it. That's very good. I don't know. That's a tough question.
I didn't actually have an answer right away either. I had to think about it, so maybe I'll get sparked.
If I have a dream guest, because everyone always asks you if you could have dinner with these people dead or alive, and you go, ugh, this is such a boring discussion. And there's so many interesting people that, you know, you would want to meet and that you would want to talk to. But so you said it can't be sports for me?
So I don't think we should pick a former, like, athlete. I think it should be somebody like Obama's a good example. Someone that isn't, you know, you don't get to have Wayne Gretzky.
We've already had Wayne Gretzky.
I know we have, actually. Shout out Daniele. Yeah. But somebody else.
I don't know. I'd probably want to talk to somebody who was really funny and who I really like stand-up comics. So I would probably want to have on somebody who knows something about a lot of different topics, who is also funny. You know who's actually coming to town? I shouldn't just promo his show for free because I actually want to go.
It's
Andrew Schultz. I really love his work. I'd love to chat with him. I'm just thinking about comics off the top of my head. Like, I love Tom Segura. I'd love to chat with him.
I got to see him here. It was awesome.
Yeah, I saw him here too.
I didn't see you there.
Well, yeah, I was up in the balcony. I actually yelled at people that night.
I didn't know you then. You were probably yelling at me, and I was like, this guy's bullying me.
Were you late?
No, never. I was there so early. I was so excited.
Okay, because I got mad at some people who showed up late. Not to the pre-show, to Segura.
Asking
people as they're trying to find their seats with their two beers in their hands in the darkness, is this section 33? I lost my mind. I lost. They're like flashing their flashlight in my eyes. What section is this? So I said, sit the bleep down. And no one's here to bleeping see you. And yeah, Bourne and I actually did a whole thing on it because I think I was in the right. I think I was very justified to get pissed off at these people.
I think so.
I think it's unbelievably disrespectful to show up to a comedy show late. It's not a concert, right? Like, it's a show. You're trying to – the entire thing about it is you're in the element of the room. You're in the atmosphere of the room. I certainly wouldn't pick a politician, though. I can't believe anyone would pick a politician. What are you talking about? Barack Obama? Why? A politician? They're all bad.
Obama would be the only politician I would pick.
Why?
Though. Because I want to know about, like, aliens and stuff.
Then you think he's going to be the one that spills the alien secrets? Then you should want to meet Trump. Trump's the only one who would actually tell you if it's like actual state secrets to stroke ego. Like, to actually.
But Obama is so beautiful and coy and like just like lovely and.
No, so you just think Obama's cool. So you want to be around someone
cool?
Cool. Okay, yeah, then you should pick a rock star.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, Barack. It's a horrible answer. I would pick. You want someone who has either an incredible amount of stories, so you would want to pick someone who is a lifelong rock star would be a good one, right? Somebody from Motley Crue has a lot of good stories.
Oh yeah,
you know, somebody, somebody from
I've seen it all.
Yes, exactly. You have seen things, friend. Yeah, you're really gonna want to talk to Barack Obama more than Paul McCartney. Like, what are you talking about? This is the stupidest thing I ever heard. Anyway, that's my answer, is either super famous rock star or incredible podcast host.
Let us know in the text line if you have any. Mm-hmm. Nobody has really yet. So, other than JD's, has to be Eddie Vedder.
No.
From Pearl Jam.
Eddie Vedder. Why?
I don't know. Somebody said that. Do you have a connection with him? Have you said that? Have you said that guy before?
I mean, no. I think someone's maybe saying because he's from Seattle that I would be really an Eddie Vedder. I think Pearl Jam is good, not great.
Jason's like from Newmarket.
Jam. I don't freak out about Pearl Jam. They got got like 10 songs that are unbelievably incredible that I want to hear. They've got a couple really good albums, but I'm not a Pearl Jam fanatic.
Jason from Newmarket says, going along with the comedy theme, I would pick Jim Carrey.
I couldn't pick Jim Carrey. I think he's out of his mind. I think he would talk to you about something, you'd be like, oh my God, this guy can't carry a conversation. He's just like talking about whatever he wants to talk
NFTs
about.
NFTs or something.
Yeah. he's losing his mind. Yeah. He wouldn't be my pick.
All right. Keep him coming. Also, keep him coming about the Leafs things that we've talked about this morning, where, you know, it's kind of like a therapy text line, your grievances, what's bothering you most. How did you word it, JD? Things that are a real concern for you right now, regarding the Leafs.
Yeah, reasons
season
to believe things are different, or reasons to believe that they're not.
Beautiful. After the break, we're going to get into that even more. It's a Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.